Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Gary. Welcome to Crypto Nights. We are very excited to have you on our podcast today.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here.
So I wanted to kick it off, Gary, by having us know about what your background is and what is the backstory in coming to this point, CoTrader.
Okay, great. So I've been a serial entrepreneur for 5 years. And I've been in software development and architecture for over 20 years. I've been tracking blockchain since very early in 2013, a little bit before that as well, even. A little bit more than, you know, a year and a half ago or so when I was trading cryptos, I noticed that, it would be great to do basically to be able to have something like CoTrader where you have copy trading ability, but without sending your assets anywhere. And then once decentralized exchanges started picking up, then I saw that there's even a greater momentum in this direction. And I saw that as really the future, the sort of like definite future that will sort of have to happen. And I started thinking about how we can do fund management in a decentralized way with proof of performance on the blockchain. And then there were a few little snags, like how do you hide the trading strategy of the fund manager when it's all open on the blockchain? And that's when I started to think about this second layer, in a sense, algorithm that would give privacy preserving smart contracts to hide fund managers' trading details. So basically create, I feel that this is kind of like, how people are looking for a killer blockchain app. I think that this is basically it, because Bitcoin is a killer app, right? It's money. It's a very simple application. You open the screen, it's a number. All you can do is send it that number or receive it. That's the only thing. That money is a very simple application. That's Bitcoin. That's one killer app on blockchain. The other one that smart contracts now able to do, well, of course, governance and crowdfunding and ICOs, but also fund management, because you can have the proof of performance on the blockchain. You could send your money somewhere, but still have control over it. You didn't really send it. It's like in a smart fund, like what we call it, and you could always take it back. This is like a killer app in a sense, right? So, and of course, it's a huge problem. People don't know what to invest in. I'm spending so much time, every one of us is running around with trying to figure out what to invest in. Thousands of cryptos, thousands of ICOs. How are you going to know? You go to these conferences all day. You don't even scratch the surface. Even if you do know everything about the market, even if you do, you have really great background in it, you just can't scratch the surface. And it's just be really amazing to be able to just see a list of the best performing people and diversify amongst them. You know, it's like, and it will cut out all this like old hedge funds that in some sense that some of them don't deserve to be taking the fees that they do for the performance they do. So, not all of them will survive in that way. Maybe management, maybe locking periods won't survive. Only the best will survive. And that's good for consumers and good for projects as well, because the best projects will be directed the most money. So that's basically how I came here and my background a little bit. And the passion for the project is to help like people, have more financial freedom, basically, to help them invest properly without spending their time and their money, possibly losing money sometimes, even in a bull market because of emotional trading. Well, why don't you do it smarter, through somebody that has like a long, great proven track record? That's kind of
got it. So the idea is to attract fund managers because they will presumably, the people that are really good in this space are the ones you're attracting somehow. And their performance is shown without the strategy itself, which is hidden. And then people are able to kind of see each person's performance over the past and probably allocate their funds amongst the top three, top 10, whatever. And the money kind of goes into what is known as a smart fund. And the fund strategies and the allocations are then automatically executed on your money in the smart fund. Did I kind of get that approximately?
Very, very good summary. Yeah, exactly. We support cryptos, ICOs, but later we'll also support stocks, options, and so on. I'll explain how. There are a few, we can also support ICO trading. Basically, ICOs are futures in a sense. You're going to get a future token. It's going to be unlocked in some future time. It's basically the future. You can trade those on our platform without IOUs, without trust, because we're all smart contract driven. So the smart fund can go into an ICO. You have a piece of that smart fund. It has its own token. You have a share representing how much you own. You can trade away that share. without waiting for that ICO to send back the token. Someone else can then get the ability to get the token back. Let's say you went into Telegram. That was great. But now you don't want to wait 2 years. You want to liquefy it. So you give away your share to that smart fund that went into that ICO. So we can also help ICOs generate from SAFTs into, for example, smart contract sales. Because we need it to be a smart contract. It can't be just an email or something. It needs to be a smart contract. The money goes here. It's going to come back here. And then you can start trading it. So also, you had some good sort of question implied. How are you going to attract the top traders? Well, here's the thing. A top trader can make so much more platform, like multiply his earnings 100 times by even if he's good. Actually, especially if he's good. So if he's doing very well, let's say he did 2x last month and let's say 50x last year or 2x last year, whatever was good last year, let's say. And you see his performance is not like one lucky trade. He didn't like hold one coin and just did well. He just traded everything at the right time. Seems like he just knew the future basically or something, right? And you're just, wow, that's impressive. And you get a few guys like that at the top and you just diversify amongst them. Now here's why, what's in it for them. A bunch of money is going to rush at them because they're at the top of the platform. So if 1,000 times their own money follows them, let's say they have about $10,000 in it. Let's say, okay, in a lot of cases, it could be a hedge fund, but let's say it's a, you know, guy from the Philippines. He's 20 years old. 2 years ago or 1 year ago, he started with $100. Now he's at $10,000, right? So he has amazing diverse portfolio, but he doesn't have a lot of funds. Now, of course, when he has more funds, he may not be able to perform as well. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, different people to follow. Some that have led big money before, but have lower ROI, or smaller funds with higher ROI, or smaller funds or big funds with higher ROI, whatever, right? And they could charge whatever rate they want in an open, free marketplace. Unlike our competitors, we don't have like one set price. It's just the marketplace decides. You know, if you're great and you have managed big money and you still earned a lot, wow, you can command 20% performance fee, if not more. So let's say you're followed by 1,000 times your own money and you're charging 10% performance fee. That's 10% of 1,000x is 100x. So let's say you made 2x last month or last year, whatever it is. You would multiply that 2x times 100 and you would make 200x by managing a lot of people's money. So, and by the way, you'd be very disincentivized to cheat. You don't want to hurt your co-traders no matter what. That's like the final, it's making you so much more money than you can by yourself. By yourself, you did 2x, very nice, but here you can make 200x, right? And it's good also for influencers. So influencers are actually interested in coming on as well because, you know, they have a shot. Maybe they're not the best performers, but they have a chance, you know? So basically 100 times, or they have hundreds of thousands of followers. They get 100 times their money or 1,000 times their money and they do fairly well for them. Okay. Now they're going to multiply their gains. So that's one strategy. Just by the sheer power of the platform, they'd be incentivized. The other way, pure user acquisition, you know, bounty programs to come try your luck. And again, it could be anyone in the world of 7 billion people. You know, if you take a 10,000 people, put them in a room and test them for any arbitrary skill, one person's going to be like world class almost, and 10 are going to be exceptional, and 100 are going to be far above average, you know, out of 10,000 people at basically any skill. You throw them, you know, trading is probably a similar thing. Now, there's a thing about luck in the past, and past performance doesn't indicate future performance. Then again, if you look at some people and they have amazing trading histories, much better than yours, you know, just a little bit, you know, common sense says, well, if you diversify between a bunch of them, you know, maybe you'll do a little better than if your performance is terrible or not as good as theirs, or you don't have the time or whatever, you know, or you want to expand into different sectors of the market that you don't know as much about. So I hope I covered some of the points. What were some other ones? And
No, I think these are all very good points. So do you have this trading platform that is there an MVP? Have you tested it out? Do you know that it works? Is there an alpha beta out there? Did you already have traction? So where is the status of the software?
Yeah, actually, we're very happy to say that we have a working MVP. It's basically a beta, but it's on testnet. Of course, we don't want it to be on. So in a sense, we call it a demo because it's like not trading real money, but it's much more than a demo. It's a working, fully working product. I would say in, you know, somewhere between alpha, maybe beta. It's at demo.cotrader.com. Traction a little bit. We're just starting a bounty campaign now. Part of the bounty campaign that will be amazing is to actually go and use the program and spend money on it all the time and use the faucet and just try to get the most gains you can, either by your own trading or putting it in other people as well, just like the real platform. And then, you know, just use it for months and months. The bounty program will just continue. And, you know, we'll just find the great people that way, right? Just by using the platform. So they'll have a chance to get at the top of the charts right now. Early adopters actually have a great chance because there aren't as many people. So even if you're just, let's say you're not, you know, maybe you're a top 1% guy or top 10% guy, you're great, but not world class, but you have a chance now a little bit because, you know, because there aren't as many people. So that also incentivizes them. They don't feel like, oh, well, you know, I'm good, but I don't know if I'm the best in the world. So incentivizes some people come try, see how good they really are.
Oh, got it. So currently it's a demo. Therefore, people are really using virtual money. It's not real money that they're using.
They're using, they're using assets. Well, it's on the it's exactly like cryptocurrencies. It's just on the testnet. It's on Rinkeby. It's not, it's the Ethereum ERC20. I mean, you're changing, you know, Ethereum, EOS, BTT, you know, whatever, all 0x, all the ERC20 tokens and any ICOs as well. But it's just not the real tokens. It's, you know, on the testnet on Rinkeby. Because if we put it on real, we first have to have a bounty for the discovery of bugs and stuff like that. And also, technically, I'll get into this. In our sale, we actually planned, it's before our ICO already. So that's kind of rare, right? A lot of companies don't ever build anything, right? Even after raising, I don't know, $100 million, just run away. Or I don't know what they do, but I don't know what, maybe they have problems. But we have our issues developing. We've already developed before our ICO and actually before our seed sale even coming up. It's one of our very strong suits is actually developing products. So besides, I think, having a very nice vision and a very nice product, we actually developed it. And before the ICO. Oh, so my point was, once the platform we hope to take it live before the actual ICO, and the tokens will be locked, but you have to lock the tokens until you're done with the sale for basically like economic reasons and so on. You just can't like unlock the tokens while you're selling it. It doesn't make sense. So the tokens would remain locked, but the plan is, you can buy COT and you'd have to stake. Oh, here's part of the utility of the token is that you have to stake a certain amount, about 5%. We'll determine that our DAO in the future will, you know, also with the token, you vote on certain parameters, such as how much you need to hold in a fund. So maybe 5-10%, for example, 10% of your fund's value. So you buy, you throw in Ether, it automatically, if you don't have anything in your fund, it'll automatically Ether. It'll automatically put 10% of it in COT, hold that in your fund. And that's kind of locked. And then you can go ahead and trade the other Ether for, or whatever it is, for whatever else you want and try to make gains, right? And then start getting performance history. Additionally, during the sale, you can just buy COT directly without putting it into the fund because, you know, you want to buy a large amount for later, something like that. So utility of it is DAO voting on many parameters. Also the DAO, any profits on the platform, which can be very significant because as we say, we can trade ICO futures on our decentralized exchange. ICOs, no one's doing that. It's a very big market. That's one thing. Another thing is, we'll also be able to support not just ERC20 tokens, but also all cryptocurrencies by using, smart escrows. And so, we have our plan for our own decentralized exchange. We have another plan to automatically tokenize entire exchanges using a master account system and a smart escrow. Anyway, all these things can lead to massive profits, you know, 0.1% on some, in some cases, in some trades or smaller, whatever the DAO decides. Profit goes to the DAO. The DAO can burn whatever it doesn't use, maybe half of it by default, buy back COT with the profit and burn it if it doesn't use it, or use it to progress the platform. In either way, you know, it's good for the platform and everyone. So it's basically you definitely have to stake and you have the votes and you have interoperability because we're not going to be just on Ethereum. We're going to be potentially on EOS, Neo, Hashgraph, whoever smart contracts that support these, which are multiple platforms. For example, EOS coming up even has an Ethereum virtual machine. So basically the COT token helps with interoperability as well, potentially. And also for hiding the trading strategies detail, it can help a little. Although we can turn everything into Ethereum, it's more convenient if you're doing multiple platforms to turn everything into COT before handing it over. So let's say you're in a smart fund. The guy has XYZ coin. He doesn't want you to know you have XYZ. At the end, you just get one coin when you come out. You know, it could have been Ethereum, I guess, but if we're going to have interoperability on multiple smart contract platforms, it makes more sense that it's like COT, for example. So that's one other utility of the token, is helping to hide the trading strategy of the trade.
What are your greatest risks at going in? What do you see as your biggest risk?
The biggest risk right now is well, it takes a little bit of marketing to like get things going. But actually now we see that even with organic marketing, because we plan to do we're doing the seed so we can have a little bit of marketing funds. You know, we've already built our platform. So, you know, I guess if the seed doesn't come in, then we have to just do more grassroots, you know, grass like guerrilla, whatever, like marketing, which actually is kind of easy in some way, because we can actually, I'm going to plan to make daily market video analysis, which community loves anyhow. And not just as myself, but as a co-trader team. So to have a whole team of people doing market analysis and using our platform to actually put our money where our mouth is, to actually say, okay, well, we think this will go up. We think this will go. Here's my fund performance at the end of the day. And then we can use prediction markets like, we're talking to, for example, stocks. So we show past performance and they have like prediction markets for future performance. So maybe their people, you know, it's a nice collaboration, can say, we think that this fund will perform well and so on. So basically have daily video updates on video and with a bounty program, sharing all these videos daily, all these market analysis. So I don't think it's so much of a risk. But that's the only one main risk is, of course, we're in very early projects, so people are getting in and are getting have a great deal and so on. At the same time, we're ready to launch this thing. So it's very, very early project, but not really, because we've been very quiet about it. And now we're all of a sudden just, you know, blasting the news out. The other risk is, there's regulations, of course. We are not custodians of the fund. The fund doesn't stay with us, like it stays in the smart fund, and it's basically like the user's own wallet. He sends the smart fund, and only the depositor's address can ever withdraw the funds. The manager can only make trades on his behalf. He can't withdraw it. Okay, so we're not custodians, and neither is the fund manager. But there is some profit perhaps involved here that then goes to the DAO that may go to us at some point, that may do this, that may do that, and we're holding tokens, we're the beneficiaries. Also the fund managers, they're managing money. So, you know, we streamline that. So there could be regulation. Now, here's the thing. Well, we basically allow the fund manager to comply. We urge him to comply in the ways that's necessary for his jurisdiction and hope that he does that. But, you know, ultimately, I think it's up to them. But we also streamline the process of making it easy for them. So they could checkbox, I live here, I am a resident of this country, I'm allowing people from these countries. Yes, I want you to verify that they come from here. And that would use an oracle maybe to check against any other government or any other third party service that says, okay, yes, they do live here. Okay, yes, they are accredited. They are not accredited. Okay, you are allowed to manage up to $25 million with them in this case. Or if they're not, you're still allowed to manage under 20, whatever. So those are some issues, but I don't think they're insurmountable. And they'll be also, because we're sort of a self-auditing platform, meaning the report. Now, the whole point of the SEC from the 1933 wasn't, you know, specifically necessarily that securities are bad. It was kind of that they're trying to prevent fraud. So like, you know, it doesn't make sense to prevent non-fraud that may be a security or that may be money managing. This starts to get into the CFTC and so on. Like, what's the actual point of this thing? The point is to prevent people from being defrauded, right? So, but we are a self-auditing system, meaning you could see the performance right on the blockchain. You could see what the fees are. There's not really any room to be defrauded. You know, all the information is there. So this may push back in a very natural way on the turf of regulators, because they'll say, look, man, what is your purpose? Your purpose is to prevent fraud, not to step on everybody's toes, not to prevent middle-class people from also having a chance of investing and earning, you know, big, for having the foresight to use the right platform and so on, right? So, I mean, that's what Airbnb and Uber is also challenging governments and so on. And there's debates about it and so on, but, you know, so far they're doing pretty well, right?
Excellent. How about the smart fund security? That sounds to me like a wallet. I worry about these things primarily because exchanges have been hacked to death, and we have had, you know, the parity multi-sig wallet broken into with hundreds of millions of dollars stolen, etc. And as you know, hackers are also targeting these kinds of aggregated funds. So what is your take on security?
Right. So actually, the security is better than in a centralized exchange because the fund is not like it's like we don't hold any key for that fund. It's we're not the custodians of it, right? So that's one thing. So it's decentralized in that sense. It's like the owner of the fund, you know, whoever deposits is the only one that can withdraw. That's in the code, and we will have it audited more and more. And you know, as we audit more and the platform comes more into the mainstream, you know, it can be very much battle hardened, you know, and it's not to belittle the code. It's, you know, quite a nice piece of code and so on. But, you know, it's not like millions of lines of code or something like that. So I think with the proper auditing can be done well. Of course, there can always be issues with Solidity code. You know, you have to be very careful. But, you know, we're really taking this process very seriously. We're going to reach out to community and experts and so on. And in the beginning, also limit how much money can be in there and warn people and so on, and just take it, you know, a little bit step by step. That's one. And then another thing is you were asking about centralized exchanges, because with centralized exchanges, actually, that's a huge honeypot of all these thefts, right? We prevent that. So you don't send it to any one central place. That's actually one of our strengths.
Okay. So can you walk me through the two scenarios? Either I am quote unquote a fund manager. I don't know what the title is.
Fund manager is fine.
I'm a fund manager or I'm an investor. So there are two roles, I see. So going forward, maybe you can draw out each one of those.
Yes.
Fund manager. If I'm a fund manager, what do I need to do right now to start building up my case for not just participation, but building my brand within your community? What should I do?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. People want to do it. So basically, you're a fund manager or you're a code trader, let's say. So if you're a fund manager, you go to demo.codetrader.com. You create, you click a button, one button, you create a fund, type your name, choose a performance fee, 5%, 10%, 20%, let's say 10%. You open your fund, you deposit Ethereum into it, boom, you go to the exchange page, start exchanging, that's it. And you can choose Bancor, Kyber, 0x, later on our own decentralized exchange. We form what we call a super DEX, you know, like these DEX, like decentralized exchange, super DEX infrastructure that for maximum liquidity. And we can also hybrid to centralized exchanges while still offering you the safety of decentralized exchanges. For example, our own decentralized exchange for supporting non-ERC20 tokens, the protocol would be something like this. Basically, we have a little reserve of popular coins, and we just check with like the price that the arbitrage price that would be safe for us to sell for. And so we just basically grab some from any centralized place, hold it in our wallets, but then we can trade against you in a decentralized manner that's completely safe to you. So that's our decentralized exchange. And also another version of that is, there's two other versions. One is you're a custodian, the typical one that some of the competitors do. You're a custodian and that you hold an account in like Binance and so on, and we can issue API calls and stuff like that, except we would do that through a smart contract that would prove your performance and so on, as spoken before. Or we, or a brokerage firm, is the custodian, has one master account that essentially tokenizes an entire exchange with a smart escrow that whereby you connect through there, it makes a call to the API, and then you have read access on the API, so anyone could see that brokerage account is holding what it's supposed to, and that's what tokenization is, right? You buy into the smart contract, you send Ether in order to get Bitcoin, and there you go. You can see with the read access API that it's sitting in the MasterCard. So that's like all the different. And with that method, we can support stocks and everything, derivatives, options, whatever, because you just tokenize entire exchanges. That's one thing. Now, getting back to your question, actually. So let's say you're a fund manager. You come, you open you click one button, you create a fund, you send Ethereum, you start trading, that's it. Then other people start to see your performance, and then they can just send Ethereum or COT or whatever into there. If they send Ethereum, it turns 10% of it into COT, and then the rest of it just goes to the fund. The guy starts managing it. That's it. And then you can pull out many times. Now, the smart fund, it's not like exactly you're a wallet, but it is kind of an extension of your wallet, because in the sense that only the depositor can withdraw, but the fund manager can make trades. So it's like you keep the keep the private keys. The only private keys able to withdraw your fund.
And what happens? What is the 10% in COT? I did not get that.
Oh, that's the staking. So say your fund is okay. So let's go through an example. Yeah. So let's say right now.
Told me about before. Okay.
Well, yeah. Just here's an example. Let's say right now you put in 100 Ethereum into your fund. And then it turns 10%. Let's say you don't have any COT. It'll either prompt you, you need to put COT, or basically streamline it, make it easy, just automatically turn 10% into COT, keep it there, lock it up. Then the rest, the 90% you can play with. Now, say you go play with that 90%. You trade it to BTT, you trade it to COT, you trade it to whatever. You make 10x in a month, 10 a year, whatever it is. You make 10x. Now it's worth 1,000 Ether. From 100, it went to 1,000. So then I say, hey, this guy's performing pretty well. I like his trades. It's worth 1,000. I send 100 Ether. Now 100 Ether is only 10% of your fund. Okay. So, I send 100 Ether, 10% of my Ether goes to add to the COT. And then, I own 10% of your fund. So I have a token representing 10% shares in your fund. Now you trade this, you trade that. And then you go, as we said before, into an ICO. And I'm happy and all that, but you know, I want to liquidate some of it. Now, of course, ICOs don't exist yet. It's a future token. You're going to get some tokens later, or they're going to unlock later. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an ICO. Otherwise, it would just be in crypto, right? An ICO means a token that's not unlocked or given yet. That's basically what it is, right? So now you want to get out of that position. So I want to sell all of my 10% to somebody else, or I want to sell 5% to somebody else. They trade that on our decentralized exchange, basically only. I mean, it could be in other places as well, but CoTrader will be the best place to have this ICO futures market. Immediately, your tokens they could be traded anywhere. They could be traded on Bancor, Ether, Delta, or whatever. But we're going to instantaneously create every fund tradable on CoTrader, so you could trade it to somebody.
Got it. So the utility of COT tokens. So one is staking, and what are the other utilities? Yeah. How are the other ways that the COT is playing a role?
Staking and the fund, 10%, DAO voting. Okay. There's also, burning of the buybacks of the profits and burning. Okay. And for interoperability, when we have on multiple smart contract, multiple like EOS and so on, it's just easier to use COT to represent some things. And five, helping to hide the trading strategy, especially in the case that you're on multiple platforms, you don't want to use Ethereum for that. And by the way, later on, there's going to be basically, and there could potentially be another token, a shielded version of, COT, like ZCOT, if we use like zero knowledge proofs, whether it's bulletproofs or ZK snarks or ZK starks or ring signatures, whatever underlying mechanism we end up using for privacy preserving smart contracts. Okay. There may be, for example, in the case of, let's say, ZK snarks or ZK starks, perhaps a Z version. Well, in ZK starks, maybe it's not necessary, but we will see. It's very early to say. But with ZK snarks, we know that it would be a trust. There would be this trusted setup, and not everyone wants to hold a trusted setup coin, and it's also expensive to send. So basically, you would only use the other version of this token occasionally. You can hold it if you want, but you just send it from your smart fund to an anonymous fund. Then you trade. No one knows it's you that's trading. They can guess, but no one knows it's you. So they don't want to put a lot of money in the guess, right? So they can guess maybe that's an anonymous fund, but we break it up and you can't really know. Then the report comes of the ROI from the anonymous to the smart fund, and no one knows where really the report came from. They just know that it's done correctly because of, let's say, the properties of it. For example, ZK snarks. You can prove the outcome of a fund, of a calculation. You know, the ROI is very simple. What did you trade and when did you trade it? Did that go up or did it go down? You know, did you trade asset A for asset B at time T and price P, and what's your ROI now? Okay. Simple calculation. You could put that public, and that's what you do for ZK snarks, but you don't tell what the private inputs were. The private inputs were what were those trades and what were the dates. Now, once you have that proof constructed, anyone can verify that the proof was done correctly. Then you just send the proof back to the smart contract, to the smart fund. And now the smart fund says, okay, yeah, here's his ROI. I don't know when he traded, but here's his ROI. So now that would, you know, potentially use another token, and whoever holds COT would somehow be basically, you know, gifted, you know, more tokens. So that's an additional benefit. You may actually end up getting two tokens for the price of one. So That's an additional benefit. But we wait a little bit on all those details because there are a lot of difference, a lot of very quick developments are happening in this space. But to be sure, there are many ways to achieve that. We'll just see which one's the most performant.
Fantastic. So, and now let's do the other user as well, that is the investor. Can we also walk through the steps of the investor?
Yeah, so the investor sees all these funds like yours, like other people's, and he sees a list, okay, they're performing such and such ways. And okay, I'll just send some ether to this smart fund and send some to this one, and I can take it back at any time. And I can see the graph of their performance in the past, and that's it. And then, you know, later on, by the way, the lead trader can expose what he probably after 1-2 weeks, he will want to expose what he traded. He just wants to maybe make it high, visible, maybe hide it for 1 week. I don't know. Because afterwards he can show, hey, look, I'm such a genius. I bought, you know, EOS at the right time. I bought this at the right time and blah, 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 blah. So then you can look to see which ones you kind of like. And then you just, you know, send assets there and then take back whenever you want.
Excellent. Got it. So how do you deal with taxes, or is that the responsibility of the investor?
It's basically the responsibility of the investor. If it does seem like it would be our responsibility, of course, you know, we'll just comply with whatever laws we need to. But it looks like that we would not need to be doing that.
Are you opening up the investment? I was talking a little bit earlier to your operations head, and the soft cap is 2 million and the hard cap is 10 million. The question is, I'm just trying to understand the dynamics here, right? So what was the decision making behind that drove that numbers?
Yeah, basically we are not looking to raise such a huge amount of money. So 10 is on the low side, right? I mean, we're an amazing project. Like, why are we raising so little? But we'd also like to keep more tokens for the long-term health of the project. But also we just want to maximize the chance of success, because we know that with 10 million, we'll be able to succeed huge, because, I mean, we already built the thing. Now, what the costs now are, you know, getting to wherever we need to get to, you know, so you're not allowed to say the word, the E word, right?
Yes.
But you need to get to the E, to those E's and whatever. And the marketing and, you know, after some time we can, you know, sell more tokens when we run out of funds. And so that's good for the project and good for an early buyers and investors, because they have a low hard cap and their multiples potentially are very high. Because on CoinMarketCap, it'll show up as, it'll be like 30% of 10 million. So it's like, you know, you're selling, and then you, based on the full price, it comes out like 17.1 million on CoinMarketCap, according to like today's price. So, I mean, you just figure, oh, well, if they just pop into the front page for a second, that's 10x, right? Or if they get halfway up, you know, potentially, you know, 100x. Well, you know, we want to make it a $1 trillion company, but we'll see how far we go. And then on the soft cap side, well, it's just that, you know, even with, to be honest, I feel that even with 500,000 or a million, we would be able to really blow this thing out of the water, because even without marketing funds, with guerrilla tactics, because we have a real product and so on, because of we are able to do these videos about our product every day, we're going to start doing that together with the bounty program, together with all that like natural organic growth. I mean, you know, we'll get the word out there, right? And then once the word does spread, we can sell more tokens and raise more money. So even with 500,000 or $1 million, I feel like the project can survive for sure. And so with 2 million for sure, that would be like comfortable. And we can even buy some of those joint venture things that, you know, that you get on some ease.
Makes a lot of sense. So given that we are coming to the end of the podcast, why don't we talk about, let's say I'm super keen on your token sales. What do I do next? How, you know, I'm let's say I want to look into more details and want to consider investing. What should I do?
Yeah. So, we're about to have a seed sale actually right now. So like, hard cap might be about 500,000. We're just finalizing that now. We're planning to start this on June 10th, perhaps as early as June 8th. So just come to our Telegram, t.me/cotrader, and our announcement channel t.me/cotraders, and it's gonna really fill up now. We're gonna so you just want to get in there and do the KYC, cotrader.com/sale, and then you, if you just come to that channel and the news channel especially, because sometimes I leave the main channels because, you know, it's too much talk, but just stay in that announcements and news channel t.me/cotraders. And there will be a significant bonus. It will be 45%, maybe even a little more, because this is a seed round. Even at 45%, it's extremely attractive, but we may sweeten it even a little bit more, because it's a seed round. So yeah, that's it. Then there's an amazing opportunity to buy a very low cap project that's a really amazing product that solves a real problem that all of us know and have ourselves. There's thousands of WhatsApp groups as we speak, maybe millions around the world, all talking to each other, trying to figure out what should I buy? And yet, and here's the perfect platform to solve it. So yeah, I think someone could do very well coming in early. They're basically some of the first buyers right now would be the seed round.
Well, that is fantastic. Congratulations, Gary. And I wish you the very best. Congratulations on all the progress you have made so far. By the way, did you say self-funded till now? How was it funded till now?
We raised a little bit of money, a very small amount of tokens from basically some friends, family, and the fortunate, I call it, instead of in the old FFF round in the traditional startups. They're fortunate to have heard about it. So really, it started just a couple of friends. And then we said, okay, well, you can bring in a few other friends. And they just got growing, like friends of friends and friends and friends and friends. And it was like 5, 6, 7 levels deep. I'm like, okay, stop. Like, that's enough, you know? So we cut it off and raised funds very quickly, just like word of mouth, just like that. Didn't even have to announce any. And then we had like a small pool sale. Someone came in at the same time, like a small buyer. He was like a whale, but you know, for him it was small. And that funded us enough to develop everything. And also because of my software experience, I was able to develop it super cheap, like really inexpensive. I mean, someone could maybe spend $20 million building this thing, literally. And we you know, in software, it's like that. You can really have huge, huge differentials if you know what you're doing. So.
And where are you located? Who and your team?
Okay, so we have a very strong development team in Tel Aviv, in Israel. It's, you know, startup nation, really amazing technology. We're actually on this penthouse. Don't worry, it's not too expensive. Only like $3,000 a month rent or something. We don't spend money on too much stuff. The office I'm talking about. Although, yeah, this is in the Palace building in Israel. And we have a nice sea view to attract the best engineers. It's in the heart of the startup capital, startup nation there. And basically everywhere around us is like blockchain, cryptocurrency projects. So we're really in a great environment for knowing exactly what's going on, have everybody at our disposal in there that we need to talk to. Bancor is right next to us. Kyber has a development arm right next to us. Everyone is there. Orbs is on our floor. Kin is on our floor. Kick. And everyone. So what else? I wanted to say that, we're also global. We do hire internationally as well. And we have developers and marketers everywhere in the world. So we're also looking for people to come on since we're growing fast.
Well, I wish you the very best. And thank you for joining us, Gary. We certainly look forward as soon as you're live. As you progress with the token sales, we want you to come back, you know. And as you're making progress with your platform, we certainly want you to come back with better updates and greater updates. Yeah.
That would be really great. I'd be honored to do it. And actually, I really appreciate your appreciate your interview. You had really intelligent questions that really made me, helped me highlight some of the great things about the project. And you really understood exactly the points right away. So that's really great. And I guess your listeners are probably the same way. So I'm really excited to hear what they may have to say. Any comments they have? Any questions they have? Would love to hear them. So just ask them here in your channel or on our channel, and we'll
absolutely fantastic. And wish you the best, like I said. And listeners, if you like this episode, as always, head over to iTunes and or Google Play and rate us 5 stars. Thank you, Gary. Wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptoknights.io.